Yeah, we're good. So we're streaming right now, but it's still on the Busey's.
I got rid of the Fizzcake.
Oh, I liked Fizzcake.
Well, we'll put Fizzcake in there again.
Okay.
Here, I can actually just... There we go.
Okay, now we're back in the Fizzcake. I feel better already.
I guess I don't have the chat up at all. So I'm going to go do the intro.
I can't find it, but so on Facebook, I keep getting these pop-ups for, like, you know...
The Diablo 3 hoodies.
Well, not Diablo 3. I mean, there's other ones. That I posted John Raphael one, which is... Anyway, yes.
Yeah.
So I keep getting suggested to Facebook posts that are really just advertisements for bootleg, like, hoodies and t-shirts and stuff. You know, like, this isn't by Blizzard, right? You know?
Yeah.
And they always say they're limited edition, but you know that this is just a print-on-demand through Teespring or whatever. But this Diablo specifically, I was trying to find, and I'm only finding the Diablo-looking one, but one I saw, like, 2 days ago, and unfortunately, describing it doesn't do just the horror of how wrong they were. Like, if you're going to bootleg something, at least know what you're bootlegging. It was... an angel, like Tyrael style thing, with giant feathery wings. And I'm like, there is literally one unique design choice in all of Diablo-dom, and it's the angel's wings.
Yeah.
And that's the, like, if you're gonna fucking bootleg something, at least get the one thing that's unique to it right. Like, everything else is just generic demons and shit.
Well, honestly, I mean, I think the bootleg hoodies is an upgrade from the shit that Facebook keeps trying to sell me, the random stuff from Chinese factories, which periodically includes a wide selection of crack pipes.
I do like crack pipes. But yeah, like, the three Moon John Ralphio shirt I'm actually kind of enchanted by, because John Ralphio is a great character. What are you doing, Andy?
I'm messing things up. That's what I'm doing. Don't pay any attention to me.
Oops and oops. Blood. That's our chat so far. Out of context, that's an interesting conversation.
Well, it's also Andy was stupid, and Andy forgot to plug in the webcam as we went live. So there was a nice red screen there for a moment. But I was able to get through it without you guys pausing and causing a commotion, except for near the very end.
Yeah.
So welcome to Crippled System.
If we didn't cause a commotion, what would be the point of the podcast?
Well, yeah, it's true as well. But, I mean, usually the podcast comes to a crashing halt whenever there's a technical error by Andy. Because then you guys suddenly freeze and just stare at whatever technical issue I have. But you guys were holding a very good conversation there about something I wasn't paying attention to because I was trying to fix something.
So how would you know if it's a good conversation then?
It sounded like it was flowing nicely.
Oh, okay. All right. So
you were distracted from my technical issue for that moment.
Okay, back to the introduction.
Welcome to Crippled System, episode 240. My name is Andy, and I play some Gilball, and maybe this month I'll play some War Machine.
Woo!
My name is Nathan, and I mostly play Gwent.
Yeah.
Mostly.
Somebody was asking about Gwent.
Dude, there is a lot to talk about because there's like a bunch of all but set in stone. Like, because Burz in his recent tweets has been mentioning a few things they've been playtesting and that they're really liking at the CDPR headquarters. So there are almost certainly changes that are going to come with the homecoming release. So they're worth talking about. But, you know,
that's for another podcast that you guys should record and then I'll distribute.
I mean, two limit on bronzes? Like, that's interesting. Like, obviously, they've been trying to get people to have more diverse bronze choices in their decks for a while, because they introduced Siri Nova, and they introduced Shoop, both of which were to...
Ba-doop.
Shoop is amazing. But both were to artificially force, quote-unquote, list diversity, and so now they're just flat-out making it mandatory by dropping a two max of each bronze instead of three. So, obviously, that's what they've wanted to do ever since Rezic left, but whatever. Sorry.
Nope.
David.
I'm Dave, and I play lots of factions on War Machine. I suppose I was painting Kador today, so maybe I play Kador.
You were painting Kador?
Yeah, I was painting Kador.
Why were you... Well, I guess you were stuck inside because of...
because it's fucking hot outside.
Yeah, it's like Florida outside right now. It's annoying.
I left a bag of gummy lifesavers in my car this morning, and I got out, and I'm like, I wonder how soft these are, and I put my fingers in there, and it was just goop.
Yeah.
It's liquid.
You solidify it. You have just one gummy saver.
I mean, that's what I'm going to do, yeah. I'll have to put it in like a bundt pan so it's still lifesaver shaped.
Yeah.
Congratulations, you now have a pet gelatinous cube.
Yes.
I had a friend who left one of those bags open in his car once. and that was not good. Yeah.
But no, I was looking. I had some time today because my wife decided that for Father's Day I should spend some time doing something I want to do. So she suggested I paint, and I looked at my giant stack of unpainted miniatures, and I said, you know, if I were to paint the Minotaur, I know what I'd paint them. So I decided to paint them. So
paint what you're the most motivated to paint first, because otherwise.
Because I want to paint my Legion and I want to paint my Circle, but I'm still in that crippling paralysis of what is my color scheme going to be, and more importantly, what color scheme can I pull off? Because I'm a terrible painter.
Here's what you need to do. This will help you out a lot. Just go down to, or maybe just go online, print yourself out a color wheel.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and then grab yourself a set of darts, and then just throw them at the color wheel and. Yeah, one will be your primary color, and the other one will be the secondary.
I mean, I think ultimately it's just going to be some variant of blue because I like blue.
Okay.
And I'm actually decent at painting blue, and I like the way silver and gold work with blue, so I don't have to worry too much about
silver and gold.
So I don't have to worry too much about what color my metallic highlights are going to be. So it's probably just going to be some sort of blue.
Okay, yeah, that works.
Everyone wishes.
Yes, Legionnaires in chat says they know that crippling paralysis. And yes, I will spend hours going over, searching for insert faction here color schemes on Google and looking at it and say, oh, I like that one, but I couldn't pull that one off. And maybe I can do that one because, I mean, honestly, it's like if you've got an airbrush and decent quality washes, they are a reasonable substitute for skill.
Washes work out well. I mean, it's basically the same thing as what people call dipping.
Yeah.
You know, where you're using like a min-max or something like that. But it is something very easy to get done with really quickly. Yeah. But you can actually master that even further.
Yeah.
You know, you just use that as part of the tool, not the finishing tool.
Yeah.
You know, add on a little bit more base coat, add a little more highlights on
it. Oh, yeah. That's my current... my current general strategy for doing stuff, especially on the War Machine side, and it doesn't work quite as well on Hordes because of the organic stuff, but I do a black base coat, and then I airbrush a medium-sized coat of a darker color, and then airbrush a light color, a lighter shade of the main shade, but do it kind of semi-zenithal so that I only hit it from an angle at the top, so the underside still has shadows of the darker color.
Sure.
And then I wash the whole thing, and then I go back with the airbrush and do highlights at the exposed points, and then often do a more thorough wash at places that still need to be dark. And doing that together gets me a nice looking base coat, and I'm really happy with the quality of my like monochrome base coat on stuff. I'm just terrible at finishing stuff.
Sure.
See, I just put like 3 or 4 colors on there and then dip them in Minwax.
Yeah.
Yeah. That works for me. And that's what I'm going to do for my Mansions of Madness. I'm going to paint all those guys. I ordered clear bases to put them on instead of those giant black shitty bases they come with.
Yeah, I ended up magnetizing all of Brian so he's able to swap out the cards underneath the monsters and then put on.
I can custom cut you.
It just.
The bases they come with, you put the cards in there, and then you just...
Yeah, I don't remember.
Might hold them on better. They fall out of the... They don't stay in those slots very well.
Yeah, I magnetized all of his... basically, like a basic base to use for, like, the large ones, for the
medium
instead
ones. Of the giant bases they come with, or...
No, they come with the normal bases, but I mean, instead of using, like, 13, 14 different bases, you'd have only the set of larges, mediums, and smalls, and then they would just be magnetized so you could just swap out.
Just quicker than,
It made it easier to store, I think, too. Right. I don't remember.
I mean, because in theory, you could always do that. It's just that the bases have, like, a slot, and they have, like, a peg under their foot, but they're not, because the plastic is so soft, they don't just, like, snap in and stay secure. You have to glue them in or magnetize them. So I get what you're saying.
I can cut you clear plastic bases if you want.
Too late. I already ordered them from Litco through Pegasus.
Ah.
Through Pegasus. Good job.
Yeah.
I was annoyed when I went to Pegasus on Friday, Nathan. I think.
Yeah.
Because I had picked up something. Maybe it was Thursday or Friday. It was one of those 2 days. I had picked up something, and I went to go throw something away, and I couldn't throw it away because you had filled the trash right before me. with all your mansions.
I told them. I said, this is full. This is so full that the lid is sitting on top of my stuff because my stuff is above the top of the garbage can.
Yeah.
I told three different people in that store.
Yeah. James goes, oh, that's just Nathan's stuff. I'm like, oh, great. Why didn't you change it?
I told him.
So I had mentioned to the guys earlier that I had something to say.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's appropriate or not, but, you know, this is crippled, system. But about an hour ago, I had a shit so bad, I thought I had to kind of cancel the podcast.
Okay.
This is
crippled system.
Yep. Like, I was sitting on the toilet and go, I think I'm going to have to cancel the podcast.
Like, I'm not going to be done in an hour.
I'm not going to be done. It was definitely one of those slow rolling out of the train, the train tunnel. It was not pretty. But, yeah, there you go. Anybody else have some shit stories? No.
No.
Oh, you guys have shit stories.
No, I mean...
Everything hasn't always worked perfectly for you.
Oh, yeah, I mean, sometimes I got bad poops.
All right.
Nothing super exciting. I don't have, like, Dave Attell? Yeah, I think it's Dave Attell, who has the story about, like, when he pulled a muscle shitting and he had to, like, crawl to the phone to call an ambulance.
Mm. No, I could actually walk after mine, so it was fine. But, yeah, about an hour ago, I was... Because...
Yeah, so tell.
I stopped playing Raymond at 4, and I finally got off the toilet around 5:15. So it was very close for me to have to cancel the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure everybody wanted to hear about that, but, you know, hey.
We could have podcasted from your bathroom.
We could have. No.
Tossed a microphone under the door.
I just yell into the vent.
Well, happy Father's Day, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sorry. It's a holiday. I thought I'd call it out.
Yeah, no. It's happy to all the fathers out there and father figures and soon-to-be fathers or other things.
And former fathers and uncles and nephews and cousins and former roommates and all those things.
So I ordered a bunch of Legion, and I still need to figure out a color scheme for it. I think I'm going with very light blue and gray.
Well, you were going blue before already.
I'm
something.
Probably going. I like blue, and sure. I can paint blue decently. Because it's not like some colors that I try to paint, and it's like, what the hell? Why is the color is just slightly different? Why can I not make this work? Like, I cannot make purple work, and I don't know why. I can barely make red work.
Somebody mentioned the bathroom podcast for Patreon backers only. I don't think 10 people want to see Andy taking a shit.
They might. Don't kink shame.
That, well, the other thing, though, too, is, I mean, have to fit all the equipment in the room, have to fit two other people in the room. It would be entertaining if we were suddenly to get, like, a ton of Patreon backers. Like, have, like, you and David sitting in the bathtub. And then me on the toilet, and then trying to cram all the equipment in there. It would be kind of funny.
We could set it up in that weird triumvirate bathroom I have in my place that has, like, the tub and the shower and the toilet and the sinks, and they all have their own little mini room with doors separating them within the one big bathroom.
Yeah.
If we're going to do on location in your place, we need to do it in the sex dungeon.
Okay. Can do. Not the Rebecca room, though. Unspeakable things happen in the Rebecca room.
I think also that if we were going to do it in a bathroom, not we do it, you know, that way. But I mean, if we're going to do the podcast in the bathroom,
oh, I got excited.
Yeah, that we might not be allowed on Twitch anymore, potentially.
Gonna suggest a hot tub podcast. We could do that.
Keith's got a hot tub. Though.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, but the problem with a hot tub is there's electronics involved.
Well, we could just dangle the microphones from above. We could make that work. Just get like boom, a mic. Boom.
Yeah, but if there's a there's still going to be steam and everything coming above it.
Well, you know, disposable boom mic.
Yeah.
Wrap it in a plastic bag.
Yeah, so everything sounds muffled.
Yeah.
Muffled, and then all you can hear is the bubbling from the hot tub.
There's got to be waterproof microphones.
Yeah, there's. Well, yeah, probably.
Yeah.
It's probably more than what we can afford.
Turn the bubbles off.
Well, then how am I going to hide my farts?
Why would you hide them?
Well, I mean, if the bubbles are on, you don't notice them except for the smell.
No, I mean, I've always known you to be one who is proud of every fart. You do a little jig before farting.
Sometimes I have been known to do a jig before farting.
I know the Andy fart jig, and so that doesn't seem like someone who's going to want to hide in the hot tub.
Oh, we almost... Andy's bodily functions sometimes are nasty. But... Jim and I went to, I think we went to some barbecue place, and then we would.
Well, then that's not Andy's fault. That's the barbecue's fault.
Yeah, but I remember that night or that that day we were involved in a giant mega battle. So we were doing, 10 people all playing Warhammer Fantasy against each other. So it was a ridiculously huge battle over at Pegasus Games. In fact, that's where this little dinosaur came into play. He was at that mega battle. And Jim and I, we cleared out our entire team's side from our Nurgle farts. It is something that you asked John about it, to John Service, and he'll tell you.
Well, that was John's dinosaur.
That was
right?
John's dinosaur. Yeah. He left that behind. It was
how dare
it was
you.
Tainted then.
Well, he's fine. He's good.
Roar!
He's been around for. I mean that. Battery has never been changed in him either.
Yeah, you're going to have to do some surgery when that battery finally dies.
I don't think it will.
Like, ever?
No.
Well, then they should plug that thing into the mains.
I think I'll die before that thing dies.
I mean, that can be arranged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want somebody to play it at my funeral. As the battery is slowly dying, and so you just...
Let's wrong. We'll bury him with you. That's the last thing they hear as the dirt goes on top of the thing. But yeah, you just have to, as soon as it starts going James Earl Jones, you just have to, make sure you go first.
I think he's been surgeried before, because he's got like the scar across his neck.
Well, that could just be his original, depending on,
Maybe.
Although that would be a weird place to
If you're assembling him, you would just attach it in him, but... Somebody's calling you.
They are, and I don't know who it is, so I'm going to step outside for a moment because I'm kind of on call right now.
Oh, all right.
All right.
So do we have any announcements to make? Other than Nathan's getting a phone call right now.
I have an announcement.
Yep.
It's fucking hot outside.
Yeah, it sucks in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I was supposed to go out on a date, and I ended up canceling because the whole activity agenda was going to be going out to see bands and stuff outside. And I'm like, I don't think that this...
Yeah, no.
No.
That's not a good idea.
We'll make it another day if we can.
Yeah, that was I had two birthday parties, both that were outdoor yesterday, and was just completely exhausted after that. And today I was taking the kids out to lunch and then going to go to a park. And then it's like I got in the car after lunch and I was like, no, we're going home. But we could stay in the shade. No, we're going home.
Shade didn't really matter today. I mowed half the lawn today because our wonderful lawnmower doesn't keep a charge for longer than that. We have an electric lawnmower.
Me too, yeah.
And it's not fun. I don't like it.
Hey, Gornos.
Monday night, I'm probably going to go out and buy a new lawnmower. Yeah.
You saw the hill between my house and the... Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have to mow that.
Yeah.
That ain't fun.
Yeah. Is your electric lawnmower got assistance for?
Yeah, it can't climb that hill. Like, it legit can't.
Yeah. Hey, Gorner says it's going to be 100 here in Pennsylvania. I'm ready for winter again, or he's ready for winter again. I am too. Where in Pennsylvania, Gorner? Because I'm going to be in Philadelphia next week.
I last summer was amazing.
Last summer was awesome.
70s all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm supposedly after tonight, it's supposed to get back down to normalized temperatures for the rest of the week.
Great. Yeah, I mean,
it's supposed to be thunderstorms and that.
I love the weather in Madison. I love the weather here. I may be in the minority here because I don't mind the winters here, and the summers are usually nice and mild, and I appreciate that.
You can always put on clothes.
Yes.
That's my belief. Yeah. You can always put on clothes. Like, if we didn't have AC in here, this would suck.
If you didn't have AC here, I would have already called in.
Yeah.
No. My issue with the winters is that they're not cold enough anymore. Or at least not snowy enough.
Yeah, no, you know, I see that.
I need to come like December 1st, I need a foot of snow. Just bam. Overnight. And I need that shit to stay for 4 months. Or 1st of December, did I say June?
No, I said first of December.
Okay,
but yeah,
first of June, yes.
To stay snow at least for 3 months. Ground. All of December, all of January, all of February. I need 3 solid months of a foot of snow. And everywhere except the road. So basically, if you look out your window right now, anywhere you see grass, I want a foot of goddamn snow. And anywhere you see concrete, I want zero snow. And I want that for 3 months. And I want the lakes to be solid ice, except for the fish underneath. And I want a sled, and I want to ski, and I want goddamn snow angels. And I can't do that because we just get slosh and dirt.
I was going to say, we haven't had a foot of snow on the ground in like 3 years.
We'll have it for like two days every once in a while. We'll have a storm, and then it goes away because it's 60 the next day.
Yeah, I should say we haven't had more than a foot of snow on the ground. And I think I've lived here for 4 years, and I think we had that for more than a week once in that time.
Except for you were talking about wherever it's green, except for my neighbor's lawn, who they cut it like every single time they cut it way too short, and so it's basically all going to die.
Yeah, no, the grass needs to have grass. Like, your lawn shouldn't be a putting green.
Yeah, mine's probably too short. That's probably why the lawnmower doesn't get through the entire lawn.
Maybe.
I know my neighbor's is way too short. It looks like shit. And the person doesn't know how to cut. Like, you can see, like, last time you were here, you saw, like, there was, like, a big chunk out of one side of it. It wasn't even, like, a straight line up the middle. Here, it's almost the same thing, and it's, like, cutting into our part of the lawn, too. So, yeah, our neighbor needs to learn how to cut their lawn.
You walk forward.
Yeah. So, normally when you do a lawn, you do long ways, long lines, then you turn long ways. I think she was doing short all the way down.
And she overshot one time?
Yeah.
I actually kind of do a spiral. Sometimes.
Yeah, I used to do the spiral. I decided that was one of the more efficient ways to do it.
I just...
Because growing up in Kentucky, as a teenager, it was my job to mow the lawn. And my mother always said she was impressed at how quickly I got it done because I fucking hated doing it because it involved doing something outside in a Kentucky summer.
My parents always made me do the lawn as well. But I always got annoyed because... If I can't see where the fuck I just mowed, it doesn't need to be mowed.
Yeah.
And my parents were always like every week and a half or every 2 weeks or so, it'd be like, go mow the lawn. I'm like, I can't tell where the fuck I just mowed.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be done. And then I would be mumbling that the entire time. The entire time of mowing, which I didn't realize. I always thought that lawnmower
was louder.
Was louder than me. Nope. I would hit like some kind of weird bump in that. The blade would do something weird. I'm like, fuck you. And then, you know, I wove a tapestry of obscenity
that hung over Lake Michigan to this day.
That was me mowing the lawn, was the dad in the Christmas Story in the basement dealing with the furnace. And I was only like 13. So, yeah.
Oh man, I love that actor. He was great in Kolchak as well, the Night Stalker. Darren McGavin, the dad from Christmas Story.
Oh yes, yes.
He was the star in Kolchak, the Night Strangler, the film, and then the spin-off series Kolchak, the Night Stalker. It's basically X-Files, except with like. So, J. Johanna Jameson when he was a beat reporter, instead of Mulder and Scully, just like this. Fast talking press dude solving X Files.
So it was kind of like almost like Columbo in a way.
Yeah. Yeah. Columbo, if he was a reporter and if instead of murderers, it was ghosts and mummies and shit.
Okay.
It's only one season. I think there's only like a dozen or 20 episodes.
I assume that this is in the early 80s.
Maybe late 70s, actually.
Okay.
But it is the direct, like, Chris Carter, the creator of X-Files, watched it as a kid, and he said, like, he's public that X-Files is just a ripoff of that show because he loved it as a kid. So when he was old enough to make his own TV show, he just remade Night Stalker.
That's cool. I mean, that's basically what the brothers that do Stranger Things did.
Yeah.
Is, I mean, they took on the inspiration of all of their childhood favorites. And that's why I think that's why we attach on to that show so well is because it hits all that nostalgic stuff.
Yeah, Non-Euclidean Nick is right. It used to be on Netflix. It might still be on Netflix. I'm not sure. I think I still have it on DVD, but good show. Good show. Not my recommendation for the day, but it could be. I do have an announcement, though. This is somewhat obscure. Not even obscure. No, it's not obscure at all. Fuck you if it's obscure. You should know this shit. So, Sad Hill Cemetery. As we all know, the cemetery where the treasure is buried at the end of The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Well, I guess where it's buried as of the beginning, but where the ending of the film takes place. Oh. Sad Hill Cemetery, that was shot on location in a cemetery in Spain. It's no longer an in-use cemetery, but it's still there. And so they are...
It's not in use, so they all move in.
Yeah. Well, that's important. That's the important part. I'm not sure.
You moved the gravestones, but not the bodies?
So anyway, they are... Maybe some of it is still. Maybe they just expanded it for the movie, like it's small. I'm not sure. But it can't be all real cemetery because of what my announcement is, which is that they are trying to clean it up, fix it up, restore it to not being a crumbled shit pile. And so to help raise money, 15 euros... gets you a tombstone.
Wow. A euro is basically, it's almost equivalent
to almost a buck.
It's about a buck 30.
Yeah. So we're looking at like $17-$18. You can get yourself a tombstone in the cemetery from The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. So I'm wondering, number one, how many Arch Stantons are they going to get? How many unknowns are they going to get? How many Bill Carsons are they going to get? And then, I mean, like, I'm for sure buying one tonight for my dad. I'm not sure whether to get one for myself. Just... how neat.
I was going to say, because that 15 euro gets you a tombstone can be read in a lot of different ways. Because I was wondering, it's like, does this mean you get to put your name on a tombstone, or do they just send you a tombstone?
No. Your name will be on a tombstone in the cemetery.
Okay.
I'm sure you can't put, like, you know, Bloodqueef. You know, you have to have, like, a name. They probably check them. But, and they said, you know, space is limited, like 3 or 4 words. You can't put War and Peace on there. But fuck yeah, I want a Nathan Hoffman tombstone in Sand Hill Cemetery. Because then I can watch The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. If I look in the background, I might be able to find it. That's how it works, right?
No. It's not like they live stream it every single time they do it.
No?
I'm pretty sure a lot of actors in that movie are dead.
Only two of the three.
I'm talking to like extras and everything.
They're Italians, they're all the same.
Okay.
Well, yeah, so, you know, 15 euros. Look it up. Good times. Good use of money.
Interesting. I want a buy-in spree to get all the Shadows of Brimstone stuff. I've gotten a lot of it recently.
I bought everything currently available for Mansions of Madness in like a week. There's two of the expansions are currently out of print, but they're literally on the boat from China to America right now, according to the resupply thing that I had Pegasus look at today. So when those two come in, I'll buy those, and then I'll have everything, and I'll finish painting them all, and I'll never play it.
Went to an online store to buy some things for Shadows of Brimstone. And so I went to multiple stores. I went through Discount Games, you know, with Jay. I went to Miniature Market. I went to a third-party one. And I'll leave the third-party nameless. But I coordinated to make sure that I got, like, the best deal out of each store. And then also made sure that I wasn't overlapping any products.
Sure.
So place the order there, place the order there, place the order at the third-party one there. Made sure everything was in stock when I did it. I got confirmation notices from two of the companies already. And then I got shipping notices from two of the companies already. And it was like the next day. I'm like, awesome. So I went and looked at the third company. The third company had, it said awaiting fulfillment. I'm like, what the fuck does this mean? I looked in the cart and one of the things was out of stock. I'm like, what the fuck? So then I'm just kind of annoyed at it. It's getting later in the day. So I check it again on Saturday. And another one of the items is just out of stock. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, how are you presenting something for sale on a site if you're just letting it go out of stock? So then I sent them an email.
And I like that while they were waiting on your order because one item was out of stock, they sold another item from your order to somebody else.
Correct. Uh-huh. So then I sent them a feedback email. I said I would like to cancel this thing. So I went double check to see if I can get those items through like Amazon or something like that. I'm not going to get a good discount on it, but I needed those three items and sent them an email saying, I'd like to cancel this. I'd like a full refund. And today I got a shipping notification from that company. I'm like, what the fuck? your systems be shit.
Well,
turns out, yeah, turns out most software is terrible.
Yeah, but I mean,
that's my professional opinion, by the way.
I don't know. Some places seem to do well with being able to keep something working with their inventory.
Some places being the keyword.
Some places, I guess. I know that Steamforge was having a big issue. They had the big holiday sale, and they managed three different storefronts online. And for some odd reason, the U.S. storefront was showing an item that was out of print, and it was the only item that anybody ever wanted through them there. So you could go and order it from the U.K. store, which means you have to pay U.K. shipping, or sit there and wait. And it took them like a good like 5-6 hours before they finally fixed the U.S. store so you could buy the item.
Cold Check's not on Netflix. I just checked while you were telling your exciting story. No, it's a good story. I'm just messing with you.
It's not a good story.
I just sometimes I think of remember Sprockets, the lesser remembered Mike Myers sketch from Saturday Night Live.
Now is the time on Sprockets when we dance.
Yeah.
Why isn't that a movie?
They actually repeatedly almost made it into a movie.
I would have watched that more than some of the other ones. Besides Wayne's World, which is fucking awesome.
And Wayne's World 2 is super good, too. Mm-hmm. It's one of the rare super successful sequels. Successful as in good, not successful as in monetarily. There's a lot of monetarily successful sequels that fucking shouldn't be. But in one of his interviews, somebody's talking. He just goes, "Your story has grown tiresome." And I just want to say that so often to people, just in that effeminate German accent. "Your story has grown tiresome."
I miss Mike Myers.
Being funny.
Yeah, he's more funny than Sandler. We talked about Sandler last week. Sandler early stuff, really good. Mike Myers just, he basically made like one really, really bad movie and then disappeared off the face of the earth.
Man, I think he made more than one really bad movie, but I think other people disagree.
Yeah, I think.
So yeah. Love Guru is obviously the one you're talking about. Yes. Yeah. Live action Cat in the Hat, holy Christ.
Oh, I didn't watch that at all.
Yeah, so. Good. Also, I believe there is one decent Austin Powers film and then two Blights Upon Humanity.
No, I like all three of them. I especially love the third one with Tom Cruise playing.
There's a couple good jokes in the second and third ones. So the second one is 90% jokes from the first one just being done again.
Yeah.
Like Zip It and Shush are the same thing, and there's a difference between a callback or a running gag and just doing the same thing again.
Sure.
And one of those isn't entertaining. And the other 10% of it is just really unfunny feces jokes from Fat Bastard.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't mind the second one. Third one was a little annoying with Goldmember. Goldmember was... he was tiresome after a while.
This third one's almost worth it just for Michael Caine's. You know, there's two people that I can't stand, bigots and the Dutch. I don't think it's bigots. I said it's like, you know, people with prejudices or whatever, but it's just that and the Dutch. David, are you checking the IMDb for
yes.
Michael Myers? Yeah, he did kind of disappear. And he was, you know, So I Married an Axe Murderer, The Wayne's World Dids.
Well, wasn't he had a severe heart condition and just?
I have never heard of that. I mean, it's not like a Rick Moranis thing where he, you know,
right?
He just told everybody to fuck off and disappeared.
No, well, Rick Moranis, his wife died, and he decided he wanted to be a full time dad.
Yeah,
you know, so that's. I mean, he didn't disappear. Everybody knew where he was. Yeah, he was raising his two kids.
I didn't mean to make it sound like it was a bad thing, but Rick Moranis did. You know,
I didn't mean to say that he just got pissed off at everybody and vanished from Earth. That he just stopped making movies because he wanted to do other things.
He did the occasional voice work, you know, that he could probably do literally over the phone.
It was Dana Carvey I was thinking of that had the heart condition.
Yeah, Dana Carvey like legit almost died. Yeah.
Oh, really? I did not know that.
Yeah.
Well, I would too.
I guess Mike Myers still does Shrek stuff.
Yeah.
I don't consider them like his.
Okay. He had a bit part in Inglourious Basterds the year after Love Guru, and
he's in Inglourious Bastards.
Yeah, the scene where the British spy who holds up three fingers wrong, when he's getting the assignment from Churchill, there's one other officer in the room who does have a speaking part, and that's Mike Myers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I probably noticed
like it's flat out literally just Mike Myers. Like he's not in disguise or anything. It's just Mike Myers doing his Scottish accent as a
sure.
Yeah. Austin Powers 4 rumored. He's in Bohemian Rhapsody for some reason. Man, that movie's gonna suck.
Well, no. I mean, the movie may or may not be terrible, but
inaccurate.
Yeah.
But if they're doing a biopic of Freddie Mercury and the Freddie Mercury is straight, there's a problem.
Yeah. He went down both tunnels. So I mean, he was.
But yeah, it's a weird gap here because he was doing all kinds of stuff. Like, we're looking at, like, several films like per movie.
He was doing Shrek and that. He was doing a ton of films.
So 2003, 2000, you know, he did Cat in the Hat in 2003, and then Shrek 2 came out in 2004, then Shrek 3 in 2007, then Love Guru in 2008, and then that's about it.
Yeah.
Like, so it was really, if you ignore the Shreks, it was Cat in the Hat and Love Guru were back-to-back films with a 5-year gap, and they were both terrible. And that
didn't the Love Guru kind of just kill his career?
I mean, good.
But I think it was his attempt to try to have like something similar to Austin Powers where they could build on and continue on for there, except for it was just not good.
So like I do miss Mike Myers at his height. Like he was really talented and I like a lot of those films. But I will say anyone who made the Love Guru deserved to have their career die.
He is coming back. I forgot. Mike Myers is coming back.
In the new Halloween movie.
In the new Halloween movie. Is coming back, so you know, Mike Myers. Get it. You get it? Because they have the same name.
Penis. No. What?
Because I thought I heard you say vagina.
He hosted the Gong Show last year?
What? Oh, that might have been good.
Was he like a judge?
Well, if there was a host.
Mike Myers.
Mean Gene, the dancing machine.
This is weird. Like, Will Arnett is on there as himself / judge, and then Mike Myers is on there as Tommy Maitland host. So he didn't host it as himself. He hosted it as a fictional character? The fuck?
That's interesting.
Yeah. Okay, bye. Speaking of that, So I saw what might be the worst show ever.
Let's see if we're all in agreement here.
It's like a daytime game show. I think it's called Funny You Should Say That. That might be what it's called. So, remember Hollywood Squares?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was a
kid before cable TV really took off. Well,
all I remember from Hollywood Squares, or was this Tic-Tac-Toe or something like that?
Yeah.
Hollywood Squares was Tic-Tac-Toe.
Funny You Should Ask. Yeah. So Hollywood Squares is Tic-Tac-Toe. And the way it worked is they were all celebrities. And then you'd
Bruce Valanche was
one,
in the center.
You'd pick one, and they would ask them a question. They would make a funny, wacky answer, and then they would give their real answer, and then you would have to say whether they were right or wrong. And then if you were right about them being right or wrong, you would get the spot. You play tic-tac-toe. Mm-hmm. This is literally Hollywood Squares without the squares. So they have 6 celebrities just sitting in, like, lawn furniture on the desk because they're all fat has-beens who don't want to stand up for a half an hour. And then they just go in order down the line and just ask them a question. They do their quippy thing and then their answer, and you say whether they're right or wrong. And if you're right, you get, like, a point. So they just ripped off Hollywood Squares entirely and then just took out the one thing that made it unique or interesting.
Yeah. Is Bruce Valanche on it, though?
No, but Louis Anderson is.
Oh, but Louis Anderson isn't. He's a national treasure.
Yeah, and his brother was wanted by the FBI.
Was he?
I was going to say,
was in one of those that show.
Oh,
yep.
I don't know. I mean, Nathan did say it was populated by fat has been. So Louis Anderson probably should be the first person that comes to mind.
No,
yeah,
he's not a has been though.
So I mean,
well, he never was.
Do have a soft spot in my heart for some of these people, but you have Louis Anderson, you have Jackie Harry, you have John Lovitz. You have Caroline Ray,
like
Bill Engvall, Sherry Shepherd, Tom Arnold,
yeah,
Howie
buddy.
Mandel.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, Gabriel Iglesias.
Yeah, buddy.
Cheryl Hines, Tim Meadows.
Yeah.
Vivica A. Fox.
Yeah.
Tommy Davidson.
So is this what happened after the Celebrity Apprentice went off the air?
Oh, my God. Jimmy J.J. Walker. Fucking Jimmy J.J. Walker.
Who?
Exactly. Dynamite from, yeah. Fucking yeah. Good times, man. He's done nothing for 45 years.
What to say? Is he 80 mask. Now?
Cedric the Entertainer, Dave Coulier, Pauly yeah. Shore.
Last time I saw him, he was in a couch.
Pauly Shore.
Not Pauly Shore, though. Dave Coulier.
Oh, yeah. And Harlan Williams. Good old Harlan Williams.
Harlan Williams.
I oh, yes. Butternuts.
Yeah. Yeah. He's the one who drank pee.
I like Harlan Williams. Kind of ashamed of that, but.
He's also somebody who's kind of disappeared a lot as well, too.
But to disappear, you have to have been visible in the first place.
Well,
so basically,
it seems like he was making a small mediocre rise and then disappeared.
Looking at his IMDb, he does a shitload of stuff. It's just all voice work now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's active. Yeah. Oh my God, he's really fucking active. Also, it might still be on Netflix. Harlan Williams did one of the ballsiest things I've ever seen. He has a Netflix special, which is him doing a stand-up special, like Netflix does, in the middle of the desert to no audience.
Okay.
It's just him and a microphone in the middle of the desert telling jokes. No laugh track, nothing. That is fucking ballsy, because without an audience to tell you when stuff is funny and feed that circle, that cycle of humor, yeah. Kickback... That, like, as someone who's done, like, stage work, that is insane.
That's pretty cool.
But yeah, so don't watch Funny You Should Ask. It's literally the worst thing ever.
You should watch the celebrity thing with Craig Ferguson.
Yeah, that's better.
I can't remember the name of the show, but you should watch it anyway, because it's Craig Ferguson, and Craig Ferguson is the best.
Okay.
Chat yeah. wants to know if there's any guesses on the new faction announcement at Lock and Load. I will simply say I don't have any guesses.
Are you saying that you have facts?
I'm not saying anything except I don't have any guesses.
I think it would probably be pretty cool if they would make the zoo a faction.
Yeah.
I think that would be a simple one, because it would probably fit closer to Hordes.
It would fuck with scenario work, though, because you'd have to make sure the way the scenarios were designed, there was nothing on the right side of the table.
Why?
Because Zoolanders can only turn left.
Oh, yeah.
See what I did there? See what I did there, David?
Yes.
Okay. No, but after two...
You just do a loop?
No, after two turns, you can finally go over to the right side of the table.
Yeah, that's...
No, three turns. Sorry.
Zoo would be the natural choice. I mean, they've said before they're not doing Infernals, which is what people have wanted for the past decade.
Well, the other thing is the big guys too, the
Giants,
like the Giants, yeah. Where like everybody would be on a large base, even their infantry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Their casters would be all huge bases, and then just have random people that follow the Giants around.
Sure, that would make sense.
Yeah.
I mean, my dream in where they don't actually have to come out with a new faction. They can bolster some of their little mini factions. Like they can go all out with pirates and actually build them. So the privateers are actually like a full on faction rather than just being a subset of mercs.
Well, I
Did
mean,
they say they would never do Infernals? I thought it was Orgoth that people kept begging Orgoth them to do.
Well, people beg for Orgoth too and Infernals, but they've said before, I mean, that was when Grimkin were coming out and it was confirmed that it was a Hordes mini faction. That was, everybody's like, oh, it's going to be the Infernals. It's going to be the Infernals. And they're like, we're not doing Infernals. And my my recollection is that they said they had no plans to ever do Infernals, not that they just weren't doing Infernals then. So,
yeah, although they had no plans to ever do cavalry either,
or mercs as a faction,
or colossals.
Yeah, I mean it's a whole slew of things that they said they would
play tested for
do.
3 years, man.
Huh?
Play tested for 3 years, mm-hmm. man.
Well, it's been 3 years since it's been out, so yes, play tested for 3 years. that was my only dig at today. But no, I want them...
Take that, Privateer Press.
I really would like them to fluff out. I mean, like I said, Privateers, but the main one I'd love them to do is Cephalix.
Well, to a certain point, that's kind of what since the CID cycle started, that's kind of what they've been doing, is because every CID cycle isn't necessarily about, it's not about a faction, it's about a theme. And they're supposed to be doing living pirates at some point in the future. So, I mean, it's kind of that people are saying, oh, there are going to be too many. There are going to be too many factions because they add these mini factions. But I mean, effectively, all these mini factions are is just two themes.
Yeah,
and everything is, and that right now, sort of the way it's set up is the important thing is themes, and the only thing a faction means is what themes you can pair with other themes in a tournament list.
I will say I don't think it would be Cephalix, just because I feel like they are almost certainly going to announce a Hordes faction.
Yeah, it's been confirmed.
They go back and forth,
correct.
As far as I know, it's been
being confirmed. Yeah. It just seems logical that they would.
I just would really like it. I mean, it doesn't seem like they would be really that much work to really put into building Cephalix up as a faction like Crucible Guard in that regards, where you only need maybe three more casters for them, maybe a medium base infantry, maybe a monstrosity.
Well, I mean,
gargantuan.
I mean, realistically, you add one more Cephalix caster, and you add a second theme and a handful of SKUs to support that. Well, it goes a long way.
I think
you'd
want at least two more casters. Because then your champs list can be three of the four. I mean, and even five. I'm just saying, like, bare minimum. Yeah. I think you need at least four casters.
I think they need options other than what they have out there right now. Because right now, it's all really just kind of melee-based infantry. And this day and age of War Machine, I mean, like, Exelon ruled for a long time at the very, very beginning of Mark III. But that was really before people started going nuts on shooting, and they could be shot off the table pretty quickly, even at 70-some troops.
Yeah.
So that would be my dream. I would love to see, like, some medium-based infantry that's built up to be, you know, like, drudge slaves. I think some kind of shooting would be kind of neat. I don't know. It just... But I think Zoo is going to be the big one.
Zoo would make sense.
Yeah.
The Totem Hunter models... Both of them look
sexy. Totem Hunter. I got my pinball wizard, pinball gun mage, gunball. Rune ball wizard. That's what it is. It just looks like a female gun mage.
That's like the by far the least impressive mini crate model I've seen so far.
I don't remember getting the Totem Hunter, but maybe it's just in a box somewhere.
The Totem Hunter is cool. The Totem
Huntress. I got it. They show up and I just throw them in my... I'm still unpacking the stuff I already owned, so all the new stuff that shows up...
Yes, actually. There's
I did
somebody,
get that.
On the painting Facebooks for War Machine Hordes posted a picture of both the female and the male Totem Hunter on the same base.
Yeah.
Painted very well, too. And it looks awesome.
The two of them on one base?
Yeah.
Just like back-to-back? Or just
like she's standing in more in the... She's kind of more just straight up and down, standing in the foreground.
Sure,
and then the other Totem Hunter is kind of a little raised up behind, jumping, you know, leaping with his spear. It looks really cool.
That's neat.
Somebody else in the podcast had asked, well, I guess this is for Zabity Grumbles, but we're just added as a topic. Who two superpowered duos would you have fight each other to the death?
So they corrected it to what? So it's what two superpowered duos would you have fight each other to the death? But then it says, think the Wonder Twins having to fight each other, not a duo versus another duo.
So we have to pick superpowered duos that then fight each other.
But so I think the two superpowered duos is a screwed up redundancy. I think you're picking a duo and have the two people within the duo fight each other.
Yeah, I think that's the question.
Or he wants us to do that twice for no reason.
Like Batman and Robin, would you consider them a duo?
Yeah, well, they're obviously they're a duo. Yeah, but they're not superpowered.
That's
unless
very
being
true
rich
too
is a superpower.
Yeah, rich is a superpower, and having psychosis is a...
Yeah.
Yes, obsessive compulsive disorder is apparently a superpower.
I know what Batman does. What is the Robin story where he kidnapped him?
Who kidnapped who? What?
There's a Robin story where Batman kidnapped...
Oh, it's Frank Miller's All-Star Batman and Robin from like a decade ago now.
After Frank Miller... I mean, that was after he lost his mind.
Frank Miller. Yes. Yeah, this is insane Frank Miller. That's the one where Batman just puts Robin in a cave and makes him eat rats for like a month to survive. Like, it's absurd.
You
also, Batman
enough,
just kills a fuckload of cops.
You got to toughen up, kid.
You got to toughen him up.
Yeah.
It's also the one where in the time it takes for Batman to get from where he kidnapped Robin to drive back to the Batcave, that's enough time for They during that drive, they cut to a scene of Clark Kent having breakfast, and Dick Grayson's picture is on the missing milk carton box, mm-hmm. which means that this car ride took long enough for him to be reported missing, and then milk cartons to be printed with his face on them, mm-hmm. and then get to the store and Superman to buy that milk and to be enjoying breakfast with his milk. So he's been driving for like a week.
We have talked about this point before, and I just thought of why that has occurred.
Uh-huh.
Why that could possibly happen.
Frank Miller's a hack?
No.
Well, yes, but go on.
No. So maybe it's possible that Dick Grayson gets kidnapped a lot.
So that's from a previous kidnapping.
It's from a previous kidnapping.
That's a coincidental milk carton.
Yeah.
All right, I can go with that.
So, you know, he's been kidnapped like a year ago, and then they made all the milk cartons, and, you know, then he was found and safe, and then, you know, like, well, we might as well just keep on printing this.
It's kind of like Princess Peach being kidnapped. It's just their logo at this point.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, pretty much, pretty much. There, see? Anyway, it's not so bad. Frank Miller's not bad.
I think it's Paper Mario 2, where Princess Peach actually has, like, her own guest house in King Koopa's area, and they're like, oh, welcome back, miss, welcome back, and she's got her room all set up and everything because she's there. It's like her summer home. She's there all the time. Also, they're totally having an affair. Like, those aren't kidnappings.
Have you seen the Koopa kids?
Those actually aren't biological children, but Bowser Jr. is her kid.
Is he the bald one?
He's the one who's the villain in Super Mario Sunshine. Yeah, he's a little short, bald one. He's the one who isn't named after a musician. So he's not from Super Mario Brothers 3. He's from Super Mario Sunshine. And he's totally her kid, because at the end he calls her mom, and instead of being like, ah, no, I think I'd remember having a lizard monster come out of my vagina, she's like, okay, cool. So, yeah.
Okay.
I'm just saying it's official canon that she's cheating on Mario with Bowser, and the whole kidnapping thing is a cover story.
Hold on. Maybe she wasn't cheating. Maybe she broke up.
Or maybe they have an open relationship. I guess I don't know.
That's possibly too. Mario has never mentioned that he is.
Yeah, he might be cool with it.
Yeah, right? He might be fine with it. Well, maybe not, because he goes and beats up Bowser all the time.
That could be unrelated too.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, that's the other thing is, what kind of relationship do they actually have? Because, I mean, she's a princess. If they were married, he should have a title.
Sure.
Lord,
they're just friends with benefits, I thought.
Yeah.
Do like in the spoilers at the end of Super Mario Odyssey, because like Bowser kidnaps her to force her to marry him, and then Mario goes and rescues her, and then eventually she's like, yeah, screw both you guys, and then she just like walks away, and then Bowser and Mario are just comforting each other because they've both been rejected. They're buddies. They're okay with it.
Sorry, I'm trying to move.
What are you doing?
We're having more technical difficulties.
We didn't even pick anybody.
We didn't even pick anybody?
Yeah, we didn't choose any duos at all.
Simon and Garfunkel.
Duel to the death? I'm fine with that. Especially if it's got, John C. Reilly and Will Ferrell.
You got there.
Yay!
Hooray! I just don't want people to fight. Why they got to fight?
Well, the other thing is that if it's got to be superpowered duos specifically, there aren't that many of them.
I mean,
they're teams.
Wonder Twins were technically when they first started, they were only a product of Hanna-Barbera. They're basically this Super Friends thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have the Wonder Twins. You have Cloak and Dagger. I guess do
those, the show's on right now. I haven't watched it. Yeah. I'm 3 DVRs on
does
it.
Power Man, does Power Man and Iron Fist count?
I don't think they're around enough together as a proper duo.
But they had a long running series that was Power Man
and
Iron Fist.
Sure. I mean, and then like are Deadpool and Spider-Man a duo in that case, cuz they're together all the time?
Well, then what is a duo? Cuz I mean, there aren't that many of them.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Yeah, I mean, yeah, what is a duo? I mean, man.
I'm going with Banjo and Kazooie.
They're not superpowered, though. One's just a bear and the other one's a bird.
How many bears can play the banjo? That bird being able to fit in that backpack, it has some, like, Mr. Fantastic shit going on.
I've seen it in a D&D campaign where we had our wizard with an eagle in his backpack.
All right, fine. Damn it.
After he took a tumble roll to avoid a fireball, he was like, hey, where's your eagle? Because the eagle should have been right around him. And he was like, no, it was in my backpack. Like, what?
Yeah, just keep him there.
Just keep an eagle in your... What?
Sure. Well, people have, like, homing pigeons in a little satchel.
Well, I mean, that's like a little mini cage on the side there. Not a backpack. It's like, it's not like Gizmo sitting in the back there with like, all pencils and notebooks and that.
I think that's like my favorite running gag in the Order of the Stick is that everybody always forgets about V's familiar, and somebody reminds him, don't you have a familiar? And it pop appears on his shoulder.
Oh, sure, yeah. So I have a really hard time thinking of duos. Could you consider Firestorm being a duo? He's two people in one.
Yeah. So they would have to split and fight. I mean, that's like asking Tyler Durden and the narrator to fight each other to the death.
Yeah, that's true.
Which I guess they kind of did.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I'm sure we'll probably get like one tweet about us not knowing a duo or one duo that seems obvious.
All right, so Simon and Garfunkel it is.
I'm going to stick Banjo-Kazooie.
I was going to stick with Batman and Robin.
Well, there we go. I mean, Batman wins that. Wait, which Robin?
I would say Dick Grayson.
You're going Dick Grayson?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it would be close then, too. It depends on how old Robin then, too.
Right, because is that Nightwing young, then?
If it's Nightwing or versus Batman, then... could we do... there's like a future Batman, wasn't there? Or I'm thinking of Spider-Man.
Luke versus Obi-Wan?
They're not really a duo.
I mean, they were a master...
Han and Chewie would be a duo.
Han and Chewie, yeah.
Yeah, and they're not super-powered, unless being a... super evolved sloth is a superpower.
Yeah. I was planning on going to see this. You want to go see it? Are you working Tuesday?
Yeah, I work every day.
Well, I mean, do you work for an evening show at the theater?
I don't know.
All right, we'll find out that after the podcast.
Are you going to go see Solo?
Yeah, we can go see Solo.
Can I see something else instead?
No, we'll go see Solo. Hey, I've heard somebody describe it to me, and it's made me interested into seeing it now. They say it's basically like a Fast and Furious in space, where it's basically just a heist film.
Yeah, it's mostly,
if you watch it just as a heist film, I think it will probably be better.
It's a heist film in the Star Wars universe.
Maybe I'll see Solo.
It's got good
Incredibles
reviews.
Incredibles
2 is also... I mean, that's going to be in theaters forever anyway. I don't think that's not going to be in theaters. I don't think that's a necessary film to see in the theaters either, because, I don't know.
How dare you?
I don't know. Cartoons don't...
How dare you?
Besides, like, Speed Racer. You didn't see Speed Racer in the theater.
I did not. But I did see The Incredibles in the theater, because it's a superhero movie, and those are always amazing in the theater.
I think it's a cartoon. I'm fine with it being on my regular TV. I'll still go see it.
Yeah, what do we got in the theaters right now? We got Incredibles 2. We got Ocean's 8.
No.
We have Tag.
No.
Deadpool 2, which I already saw. Solo. Hereditary.
No.
Superfly.
Deadpool 2 was good. Deadpool 2 was good.
Yeah, no. I said yes.
Yeah.
I would actually legitimately go see it again. Mm-hmm. I would see it a third time in the theater.
Hotel Artemis.
It seems interesting.
No, yeah, like of all that shit.
Hereditary is such a piece of shit film. I've seen so many people talk about how fucking scary it is. It's not fucking scary. Yeah. It's disturbing. There's parts of it that are shocking. It's not scary. It just...
Some people, disturbing and shocking is a version of scary. Like, because otherwise, what is scary? Just boo moments?
I don't know.
Like, it depends on what
you're looking for in a movie. Because I mean,
atmosphere.
I think the movie that I saw in the theater that made me legitimately made me squirm in the seat most was Borat, and that's just because that's just because the social awkwardness literally affects me more than body terror or suspense or the tension moments. So I mean, literally, it's like if you wanted to just a moment where I was cringing and dreading what happened next, Borat is the worst movie. Movie for me.
Like, I feel
the suit is not black.
I feel I need to find movies that scared me previously, maybe I'm just done with scary movies, but I don't know. It's a little bit of the atmosphere. Like, The Exorcist still gets me.
Sure.
That still freaks me out. There's just nothing in that movie that freaked me out. There's like shocking things that happened that made me go, oh no. And that's about it. It wasn't anything that I went like, oh, this is really,
Sure.
There wasn't a lot of that in that film.
I don't know. Maybe it's just life experiences. Because, I mean, so much of this just doesn't affect me anymore now that, I mean, I, a couple of years ago, was literally asked to build Skynet. And, yeah, it's just not scary anymore because it's like, yeah, this is how reality works these days.
Yeah. I mean, like I was scared of aliens when that first came out. But that's more jump scares in that regard.
Yeah, but I mean,
fire in the sky when they put that needle into his eye. Ugh.
I mean, any of the science fiction. Once you're dealing with aliens, it's like, wait, why is this the horror? Because it's like you learn about the physics of space travel, mm-hmm. that it's like it requires so much more energy to get from more anywhere other than like the next star over. It takes so much more energy to get there than it does to say destroy Earth. Sure. That if the aliens show up. We're not going to be afraid of one of them hiding and jumping out of a closet door and eating you. We're going to be afraid that they might accidentally leave the parking brake off and destroy the planet.
Well, so.
Obnoxious way to say that.
Well, because literally it's like you figure out the energy, how much energy it takes to get from there, where there sure. is any place outside of the range.
So couldn't it take basically zero energy? Like, the thing is, there's not friction in space. Like, if I threw a ping pong ball, it would eventually get to a different solar system with no more energy usage than my
throat. Yeah, in millions of years.
Correct.
Yeah. I mean, I'm assuming they get there. I'm assuming for this, the energy calculation, they get there in a reasonable amount of time.
Sure, but then what's reasonable? I mean, so you're making three assumptions. One, that they care about reasonable length of time. Like, if they're okay cryosleeping for a million years, there's thing one. Thing two, obviously, they could have access to different energy sources where the energy isn't the same as we understand it. And thing three, they could travel not through direct path. Like, if there is some folding or warping or whatever, which obviously currently is like, man, that's sci-fi, but I mean...
Well, that's
they could not take the direct path.
That's like, known.
It is known that it's possible theoretically.
But the energy required to do that is still ridiculous.
Through the ways that we can theorize doing it. I mean, it is theoretically possible that you could shortcut space in a method we don't know of with less energy than we think. And if that happened, that would be the discovery of the warp drive, right? Yeah. Or more importantly, like I said, if they're just okay with being cryosleep for a million years, that's the more reasonable thing. They're not going to fly from, you know, Alpha Centauri to here and back.
Yeah.
And, you know, just as a round trip. It's like, I don't remember if I've talked to this about this on the podcast before, but Harry Turtledove does a lot of alternate history books. And one of my favorite series he did were these aliens that they came, you know, they're invader style. They're like Independence Day shitheads. And they flew to Earth and they saw like, it was like medieval times and they saw feudal technology and they're like, fuck yeah, we got this shit. Because they had, like, Civil War technology. Like, apart from space travel.
Yeah.
Their guns were, like, Civil War muskets, but they had space travel. That's all they had going. But they're like, we can fuck those guys up. We'll be back. So they flew back, reported, yeah, these assholes are just using pointy metal things. They're losers. Let's go kick their asses. And they flew back, and they got here now. When we have, like, missiles and tanks and everything, and they're just like, fuck. But they spent all their resources going there and back, so they are pot committed. They have to invade Earth with their muskets and try to beat us. It is actually a really cool series.
No, but I mean, the other way to look at it is that we have enough energy stored now to destroy all life on Earth.
Well, sure. I mean, I do. Who doesn't?
So it is just the way physics works. It is extremely unlikely that if a visitor shows up from another star system that they will not have the ability to trivially destroy all life on Earth.
Well, sure, but if I drive, like, I have enough fuel in my car to burn Andy's house down, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to. That doesn't mean that's my motivation. Like, just right. because it's available to.
Oh, right. No, I'm
that's
saying
that's not what you're going to tell the judge.
Yeah.
Right. No, I. The, no, but I'm the saying toppers that, debacle I mean, all
maybe,
over again.
I mean, maybe Predator is the model here. Is that if they wanted to, they could just fuck everything up, but they hunt us for sport.
No.
I mean, maybe that's.
Have you seen the new movie?
No.
Have you seen the new trailer? They're interbreeding.
No, but I mean,
I didn't see that in the trailer.
No, they mentioned that they're splicing with humans and shit. They're trying to make a ultimate predator of some sort,
or an ultimate prey.
I don't know. It's fucking stupid.
Hey, not counting the AVPs, just looking at the three main series films, there has never been a bad Predator movie.
Yeah, that's true.
All three Predator movies are legit. So
Predator
I
2 is
faith.
Fucking amazing.
Predator 2 is the worst of the three, and it is still very good.
I like that one the best because it really takes the, basically, in a sense, an everyday person to battle a Predator.
Sure. Well, they're all three unique enough, right? Like, the first one is the Predator versus an ultimate warrior.
Yeah.
The second one is more just like a normal everyday beat cop.
Yeah.
And the third one is the flip, you know, the turf flip, where then they take predators and the predators are fighting against other predators, lowercase p. You know what I mean. Anyone who's seen the movie understands what I mean by that statement. Predators are good.
I've the trailer that it's out. I'm sure there'll be another trailer that I'll see that might change my mind on it, but right now it's not very good. If we're talking about movies that we're... Wait, you guys were talking about aliens. Sorry, I changed it over to aliens.
And so much of the science fiction. Most of the science fiction that is interesting is actually fantasy, because as best as we understand how the physics would work, how the energy would work to do interstellar travel, the stories get really boring if you actually have to build it around how that works. Because it's basically, we have millennium ships, so we have all of the drama of a bunch of humans in one confined place. So we just created Big Brother in space. That's your movie.
Or the West Wing in space.
Yeah, sure. But and otherwise,
I mean, any space is a confined space if you're thinking big enough.
Yeah.
I mean, so that's like saying the universe is Big Brother just because we can't leave it.
Fair enough. But I mean, most of the time you're talking about you could have a millennium ship large enough that that doesn't matter. But I mean, still,
like,
you're,
is Earth anything but a millennium ship that, you know, we didn't build?
Yeah.
So, millennium ship, what is that term for that? Is just one that can travel for...
It's like, this is your home now for generations.
For generations, yeah. Okay.
You build a ship, you send it to another star system. It is going to take longer to get there. I mean, it's called a millennium ship, because you say, it'll take 1,000 years to get
your
there.
Your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren will get to colonize a planet.
Did you ever play the Fantasy Star games?
Yeah, I did.
They were on a millennium ship.
Hey, man, it's basically if the Mayflower took 1,000 years to get across the ocean.
Sure.
That's all it is.
That's like the ship in The Expanse.
Sure.
The Mormon ship.
Yeah.
which takes an interesting take in the first season.
Yeah, and the people who get onto that ship are the interesting people. Like, you know, that they are okay with this. Like, anyone born on the ship, they're like, my parents did what? Fuck, I'm stuck here? Fuck. But... the people who choose to know that they're going to spend the rest of their life on that ship.
Well, the Mormon ship didn't get used for anything except for pushing a giant rock.
Well, you know. Good.
After they stole it from them.
Well, so I'm sure they were using it for something else.
Yeah, but it was an interesting buildup of the Mormon ship. And they're going to gather all the Mormons up, put them on that ship, and then just send it off. That was the whole premise.
So this was because they each get their own planet.
I was going to say, wait a second. Was this a colonization ship or a flying concentration camp?
No, it was a colonization ship. It was built by the Mormons. Okay. So it was not.
Oh, you made it sound like it was other people that
It wasn't. We're going to pack up all
get
the Mormons.
Get out of here, Mormons!
Ship them out. No, it was.
Take your magic underpants with you.
It was part of the Expanse.
We can finally look inside your churches, you dicks.
Frickin' hey, we got... Jim came over yesterday. We started watching The Expanse. I have like 9 of them recorded. There's only like 3 left in the season. And we watched about 6 to 7 hours worth of The Expanse.
It's a good show.
That show is fucking amazing. So good. So I don't really have anything else. Are you guys...
New season of Diablo.
Yeah, that just started. It's double loot goblins.
Yes, the season of greed.
How long has Diablo 3 been out?
Like a decade now.
Yeah.
It's been out for a while.
Not a decade. It's been at least a good 5-6 years.
I mean, I can't say much because World of Warcraft has been out 14 years, and I had that proud moment as a parent last week when my eldest said, "Hey, Daddy, can you help me tank for me through this dungeon?"
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. So yeah, if you were playing vanilla WoW and you had a kid, that kid is probably going to be helping you with dungeons now in the new expansion, potentially.
I watched a video. There's a series of videos called Death of a Game.
Sure.
By a guy, Nerd Rager, I think. But they talk about like mostly MMOs, but just multiplayer games in general that are now defunct or on life support.
Effectively so.
Yeah, like WildStar was one of the more recent ones, you know, just effectively. And they had a video about City of Heroes, and it made me nostalgia sad.
Yeah, no, I liked it. I just didn't like the repetitiveness of it, which, granted, later on didn't matter that much. I mean, because it wasn't as repetitive later on, but I liked playing my hero then. It was very interesting. I'm very surprised I think there's room for MMOs. I think there's only one per genre.
So you have WoW, which although it's like a third the size it was at its peak, is still the biggest by far. And Terra, people play Terra, people play EverQuest, although EverQuest 2 shut down, but EverQuest 1 is still running, I think.
how weird is that, that EverQuest 1 is still going
Ultima strong. Online is still running.
I know that Dark Age of Camelot is still running.
Age of Camelot is still running. I will probably be sucked in whenever the Dark Age of Camelot ripoff made by the people that originally made Dark Age of Camelot comes out.
I actually kickstarted that. I'm one of the founders for it. I have yet to load it. I get notifications about they're always posting alphas, and I mean they're at least keeping communication open with their people. Hopefully we'll get to sit down and play some Star Citizen eventually.
Yeah, okay. Like Star Citizen, didn't they just introduce the ability to spend $1,000 to unlock the ability to spend $25,000?
I don't know.
And they continue to just post pictures of themselves on their yacht. You fucking idiots. Fucking idiots.
If you're unlocking abilities to spend more money, is this just like, I mean, this was like a friend of mine got me into playing EVE Online. Oh. And I was playing it for a few days and I realized that this is a spreadsheet. This is a spreadsheet with graphics. That's what I am doing.
EVE is one of my favorite spectator sports.
Yes.
I do not play EVE, but I read about what's happening.
Because I appreciate the level of fuckery that goes on in that game.
Yes. But no, like I think there's like a tier, but you have to be like at least $1,000 patron to unlock the ability to have these ships, but then you have to spend like $30,000 to own all of them. Like it's straight up that you can pay to unlock the ability to pay them more money.
Oh boy.
That's all Star Citizen is, and that's all it ever will be. It is
shit, we gotta get into that market.
Oh my lord. You're all fucking stupid.
I mean, so is the first step to get into this market is we need a yacht to have pictures of ourselves on?
No, the first step you need is a Kickstarter page, because that's where the yacht came from. Like, you just lie and make things up, and people will throw money at you forever.
Yeah, it's weird, though, that you don't hear... it was like about 2 years ago, a year ago, that I've seen stuff about Star Citizen, but I haven't seen anything since then. You figure that they would... In a way to try to promote themselves, to try to get more money continuously, why didn't they have something at E3?
Because it's not because a real game. There. It's never going to come out. Yeah, ever.
I know. But I mean, if they're going to try to keep that perpetual machine going, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you hold up that facade still?
They could show the same fake trailers they've always shown. Like, oh my lord, fucking Star Citizen.
Bloodstained put out a 8-bit version of their game like about a month ago, which I don't know if they've actually come out.
Oh, yeah, that Castlevania thing. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if they've actually put out Bloodstained yet. I don't think that's actually officially out yet, but they put out an 8-bit version that got a lot of good reviews on it. I'm excited. I should download it and play it. But I don't have any other announcements. I don't have anything else. If you guys have anything else.
No.
Speak now, forever hold your peace.
I have a recommendation.
Oh.
I mean, I don't know if we were going into that. I don't know how forever hold your peace we were going, like if you were like ending the podcast.
I'm going to jump ahead of that. I'll recommend staying indoors because it's fucking hot out.
That is true.
Yeah. It's nicer downstairs because it's less hot up here. And when I went downstairs to go to use the bathroom, it was like, oh, it's nicer down here. Hmm. In this room, it's still kind of warm, but not bad. Yeah, staying indoors is good.
Yeah, so I found the Star Citizen thing. You have to contribute at least $1,000 to their funding, and that gets you in the tier where you are allowed to spend $27,000 on ships.
I mean, who's going to play that game? If you're spending like $200-$300
who's going to play that
ship,
what?
I know, but I'm trying to wrap my head around of like actually playing that game. I mean, like there already exists in a better version of that, which we just talked about, which is Eve, and they already have an insanely intense community.
But this just sounds like just a horrible pay to win MMO, which Eve already is.
Yeah, it's not even an MMO. All right, this is getting ridiculous, said Redditor StrikerX88 in the Star Citizen subreddit. I've been on the wait and see side of the fence for 6 years now, but shit like this makes me fall right over into the maybe the guy's calling this a scam or onto something. No shit, dumb fuck. 6 years they've been taking tens of thousands of dollars for fake spaceships that don't exist while tweeting selfies on their yacht, you dumb shit fucker. StrikerX88, you are a moron.
I mean, he's only 30, so, I mean, come on. Because he was born in 1988, because that's probably why he has the 88 in
probably
there.
Probably true.
Yeah.
You're in your 30s. Wise up. He's ripping you off.
Yeah.
In a statement to Polygon, Star Citizen developer Cloud Imperium Games, said it created the Legatus pack in response to requests from a hardcore segment of the community. That includes people who lead guilds and others who... There are no guilds! There is no game! These people have fucking guilds for a game that doesn't exist!
Well, no, they might have guilds that would be in some, like, Eve or some other MMO. Basically a grouping of people that they would want to bring into that game. There's a giant group of people that when we played Warhammer Online, they were in a bunch of other MMOs and that. And when they came into Warhammer Online, we joined them and found out that they were just basically a community.
Well, I mean, these communities, this has happened since EverQuest. I mean, that was because back on when I was on the Lum the Mad forums, people had very opinionated takes on the MMO genre, the term was Robot Jesus Online, that there was always going to be a Robot Jesus Online coming next year. And there were always people obsessed with it and going overboard and telling people how inferior they were because their Robot Jesus Online wasn't as good as the one that they were going after.
Oh, just, for the MMOs, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's the genre attracts stuff like that.
Oh, my God,
sorry. You were probably going fine with your life for the last couple of weeks or so. Nobody have ever mentioned Star Citizen at all, and now you down that robot rabbit
hole. No, I follow Star Citizen intimately.
Okay. I didn't mean to start the newest session.
Hey, do you like code names? Sure.
No, I don't.
We all do. No. Never play it again. It's a garbage shit game that you can burn every copy of because I've discovered a game that came out last year called Decrypto, and it is a strictly better version of code names. It's amazing. It's awesome. It's great. You should play it always forever at every party forever. Go buy Decrypto.
You can get that from your local game store?
I did. I did buy it from my local game store.
I was asking you.
So you can get that from your local game store. It was only $19.99 in my local game store. That's cheaper than seeing Solo and getting popcorn and soda. And I know which one of those I'm going to enjoy more. Spoiler, it was buying the crypto. And not even the playing, just the purchasing it, I enjoyed.
He's by himself, so his name's Solo. Fuck you.
But crypto is neat, because one of the problems with code names is that when your team's giving a clue, you give your clue, and the other team gets to just like stare at the wall and hate life for an hour until your team finally makes a guess. So Decrypto, you give clues based on the same code words multiple times, and so using these things, the other team starts to figure out what the words are, and they can intercept by guessing. So you have to make clues that are subtle enough for the other team not to get, but clear enough for your team to get, and that's a cool balancing act. That's a good hand gesture. I appreciate
my hand gesture was I was about to say something. I realized I had nothing to do with what you're saying. I was going to go into my hatred of hourglasses.
That's fine. You can go into your hatred of hourglasses. Decrypto comes with an hourglass. So
that's what
fine.
I expected. I thought it was going to have an hourglass to it.
But
it bothers me that hourglass is a minute long. Okay, but let's say you flip it over and you get about halfway done, but then you actually finish your turn. You still have to wait for that fucking 30 seconds for it to go.
And hopefully someone will eventually invent a clock instead.
It's got to be easier to include just a small little digital clock that you can press.
Batteries. You're not wrong. You're not wrong. You are not wrong. You can get a dollar kitchen timer with a watch battery in there.
Correct.
Might even be cheaper.
Yep. Yeah, than a sand hourglass. I mean, yeah, it's fancy. It's cool, but fuck that shit. Give me a digital timer.
It sticks. Like, you're playing for, 45 seconds, and you look over there, and it hasn't run at all because the first grain of sand wedged itself in there.
And
you have to, flick it and then go, hold on, guys. Let's just flip it back. We'll assume that was time, right? Yeah.
Or you're sitting there in a very intense discussion, and then you look over, and the thing's already out.
Yeah.
And it's been out probably for the last, 30 seconds or so. Because you guys are having such a great conversation, and you're
somebody on the other team needs to be staring at that thing like they can boil water with their eyes, and they're trying to make tea.
Yeah, fucking hey, just get a goddamn dollar. Go to the dollar store and get yourself a timer. Plus, yeah. I hate sand timers too.
It's rough and coarse and gets everywhere. Timer.
Thank you, Anakin.
Oh yeah, if you like clue giving party games like Codenames, you should get Decrypto. It's cheap and good and fun.
I've seen it. It looks pretty solid. The one game that you should pick up that I helped develop with David Carl is you should pick up a fun little card game called Rainbow Knights. Available, I believe it's available through Ninja Division. There's the street date was supposed to be June 13th.
It sucks.
No, it doesn't suck. You're in the credits, you bitch.
It does not suck.
No, it's just a little silly little dexterity-based game and speed-based game. So you're about building, I think, a Tron Light Cycles.
Yeah, it's Tron Light Cycles, the card game.
Yeah, except for it's got cutesy little rainbow knight dudes.
It's legally distinct Tron Light Cycles, the card game.
Yes, correct. but yeah, I helped develop that with David Carl about 2 years ago. And it's finally, after years of production issues through Ninja Division, it's coming out. So buy it. And take a look at my name in the credits, because it looks awesome. That was my recommendation.
And you recommended staying inside?
Yes.
You're sticking with that. All right. Well, there we go.
There we go. That's it. Holy cow. We're under a minute 30, or hour 30.
Oh, yeah, I was thinking it's about an hour 30, but we started late.
Yeah,
because somebody was trying to get the last two teensies.
I was trying to, there's two more teensies I need to get in Rayman Legends, and I'm thinking I will give them maybe about an hour each of struggling through those missions.
And then you'll just live with 698 teensies.
I will live with 698.
But you have to finish.
I will live through 698.
You've gotten so close, you have to finish.
Actually, the last two bards aren't really that bad. I could probably do it. It just taking the time. I will not get a million fucking lums, though. Screw that. I'm only at 300,000, and that's after getting all 700 teensies.
Yeah, the only reason I got a million lums was because my kids played.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. That, and if you do all the challenges, it sounds like you can gather them a lot. I avoided doing all the challenges. I didn't even start a single challenge. I was like, no, super extreme challenge. Nah, I'm just going
to
go.
The dailies take like 30 seconds to do, and they get you a couple thousand lums. Because like, you could literally just throw your controller at the wall and get a bronze because people suck, and there's very low standards to getting a bronze.
Yeah.
I wonder if that goes through Ubisoft's thing, because there's a couple in there that had zero times. Like somebody hacked their way into getting the time frames.
Maybe. I don't know.
I was looking at a couple times. I checked out the leaderboard to see where you are, where everybody else with my friends were. Unfortunately, my friends haven't played the game.
I've played the game.
Well, I mean the recent reboot of the game. A lot, because like you're.
I have to say, because all of my stuff may be on my wife's PlayStation account.
I think it is, because you showed nothing on yours. I'm like, David's been talking all this crap that he's forgotten all everything and that, and I'm like, but I don't see.
Yeah, it's all on my wife's account, because I mean my wife has played it more than me, but it was like those last two, the ones that you're on. I had to do one of them, and then we had to do two player to get the other one.
What do you do two player?
Hmm?
How do you do? You're just both running at the same time?
Yeah.
Oh,
We'll try it.
Yeah, I've never done that. So
it actually makes it harder in a lot of boards, but there's some like that's easier.
It's like the cycle in Battletoads where having the second person just fucks with you.
Yeah.
Oh, I still haven't shown you guys the video of that guy doing it blindfolded.
I mean, I've seen them beating fucking Mike Tyson's punch out
blindfolded. I don't know. I think that the other one doesn't really have that many audio cues to it.
Well, he just has it memorized.
Yeah,
right?
there's no actual randomness.
Like in his head, he just counts to three and presses up and then down, up, down, down. Like it's just the rhythm.
The annoying part is, I was trying to think of like people that could try to do Rayman through audio cues, especially with the music boards. Music boards were very, you know, but if you end up dying there on the regular music boards, it starts you off at a weird part.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that the timing could be completely off. Plus, right, the music changes a lot for a lot of boards if you're trying to go through them as quick as possible.
Yeah. And I know, like, watching the speedruns and stuff, there will be times, like, in the marathon things where the people will be like, you know, I need quiet from the audience for this next part because I literally use the... They will listen for certain notes in the background music during a song to know when they need to do something, because that's better than using their eyes.
Yep.
Yeah.
That game is legitimately fun. I wish I would have paid attention to it when it was released back in 2012.
I remember seeing it, like, in GameStop or whatever. They had the demo up there, and they had it set on, of course, the Black Betty level, because that's the one that, you know, just grabs you. Mm-hmm. It's a simple one, but it's fun as hell. And yeah, I remember that, and I was like, wow, this is neat. And I don't know, wasn't it, like, on the Wii U at the time or something?
I think it was out for Xbox.
PlayStation 3.
And probably the Wii.
I almost feel like it was briefly like a Wii exclusive or something.
It might have been.
Maybe it's just that the display was for that. I don't remember. But like in my brain, I equated it as being on that system, but that could have just been because that's the demo I saw it on. I am not a smart man, so.
All right. Well, thank you all for watching. We'll probably be around next week. I don't think there's anything special going on that would not make us be here. But we'll be broadcasting 6 p.m. next week. Thanks for watching.
Boy. Yep.